tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? That's a pretty serious passage of Scripture. James probably wrote the first book that was written in the New Testament. He's certainly warning and talking a lot to the Jewish people. And he points out some things that are very serious about the use of the tongue. That when it comes to tongues in general, they cannot be tamed. Is he saying that Abe cannot tame his tongue? Absolutely. Abe can tame his tongue. Abe just chooses not to tame his tongue. That's what he's talking about. But he's talking about in general, it doesn't happen. Everything starts with words. You think about it. You think about that people tend not to get upset with each other until words are spoken. Amazing, isn't it? You're talking about the little things don't bother me. Of course they bother every one of us. And they bother God in the misuse of the tongue. It can be a weapon to save or it can be a weapon to destroy. It's created battles between countries, multiple people dead as a result of what happens. Some might try to be neutral with the tongue, in that they don't say anything one way or the other. Well, that doesn't work either. We need to use our tongues. And so, as a result, they provide no benefit to anyone they come in contact with. So we'll talk about it later. So I'm going to ask for you this lesson, especially concerning the misuse of the tongue and using words that are not permitted by God. Because God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, I could not in and of myself say anything about this separate and apart from what the Word of God reveals. That's why I use the Word of God in any lesson I teach, not my think-sos, and I try to present that only. The Holy Spirit has revealed much about this. And so we need to understand in what direction we need to go with our tongues. And it seems that, as some have said, that lots of times our brains or minds are in neutral and our tongues in full drive, going forward at a rapid pace. Well, not true about that. Not true, as we'll learn. We make statements like, well, that just slipped out. I didn't mean to say that. I don't know why I did that. And we go on and on and on. Especially a lot of times with our spouses. We're going to take a look at some of the things the Bible says about this. Our tongue can be misused. I will not list all the ways we can misuse it, but let me just tell you some of the ways that God says. And we'll end up this first lesson with what I think the person desired me to talk about. Lying. Lying is just completely wrong. Lying, I don't care how you look at it, it's marked by or containing falsehoods. Revelation 21, all lies will have their place in the heart of the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. He warns in Ephesians 4:25, quit doing that. It was a common seemingly practice, and he says, put it away. Don't even have it in your life. Put away lying. What's the opposite of that? Well, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For remember one another. Just don't do it. So what kind of lying are we talking about? Well, we can talk about a blatant or a deliberate lie. It's just flat out false. We don't even care. Like Cain. Cain just flat out lied. He did not tell the truth. He deliberately tried to mislead God. Of course, he couldn't do that, but he thought that he could do that. And so, in verse 9, where is Abel, your brother? He thought he'd be real cute for this, and he said, I do not know him. I'm a brother's keeper. Are you expect me to know things like that? Well, of course, he knew exactly where his brother was. And an eyes and Sapphira. In Acts 5, 1 through 11, they completely lied. They just lied about how they had used that money. And it's plain. They had lied, he said, to the Holy Spirit. You mean the Holy Spirit questioned about this? No. No, the Holy Spirit had directed certain things, and so they just flat out lied. Or misleading statements. I believe people think that they can just kind of tell a half truth, or just not tell it all, and things are fine. Like King Saul. King Saul thought he'd get by with just telling just a little bit of the truth, just enough to get by, and just kind of mislead, if you will, Samuel. And this is what he said when he was asked the question, did you utterly destroy them? And so he would say, blessed are you of the Lord, Samuel. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now, what's he talking about? Well, he's misleading you. He's saying in his mind, I did 99% of what you said. In my mind's view, that's really good. I have performed. Did he? Well, you could say, yeah, well, no, he didn't. He didn't for me. But in his mind, he did. And what he did was exactly what James 2:10 says. Keep the whole law, you have to finish on the point. You're guilty of all. Why? Because he kept the part he wanted to. He didn't care to keep the rest of it. He just didn't want to kill the king, and he didn't want to kill the animals. And so he didn't do it. And he had every excuse in the world for why he didn't do it, didn't he? Why the people, this, that. But he just misled with his statement. We could clearly say, well, I have kept the commandment of the Lord, knowing that we didn't fully keep it, but we kept what we wanted to. Abraham, he just told a little bit of a half-truth about Sarah, didn't he? Well, he told the truth, didn't he? Well, not fully. You see, he just said, she's my sister. Well, that was true. But she wasn't. She was also his wife. She had been his half-sister, but she was also his wife. So in his mind, if you I cleared this up. It's fine. Well, we know the trouble that was created twice with this. Twice he did this. And twice created a problem because he didn't tell the truth. Filthy language. How about just saying things that are offensive or a little bit off color? Is it okay to do that? Well, the Bible says in Colossians 3:8. But now you yourselves are to put off all things. Now look at where he lists this. With anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Now different translations say it different ways, but it's basically the idea of in every society, we know what's clean, quote-unquote, language, and filthy language, don't we? And there's that little, when you're a child, it's that little, you know, thing, and that's what adults do as well. They kind of tell things, and it's filthy. It's not clean, and we know it's not. We know these things. I mean, could I put a list of the things up here? I wouldn't even want to do that. We are smart enough to know. But yet, it gets said, and people just kind of laugh about it and move on. It can be jokes that are not clean. It can be just language that's not clean, if you will. Not sound language. Not sound doctrine. We know those things. We work with people. All of us have probably at one time or another have been around neighbors or people that use this type of language. And hopefully, as Christians, we're not using it. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification that it may impart grace to the hearers. And I've said this before about this corrupt. It's the idea I've heard about this word from the Greek that means that like you would go out in the forest and you get ready to sit down because you're tired and when you sit down it just goes out from under you because it looked pretty sound and it's just rotten to the core. It has insects that's eaten it up. It has rotted from the weather. It's just not sound at all. Corrupt. Corrupt language. It is not anything that is of any benefit to anyone, but we say it anyway. Or gossip. A person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts, rumor, or report of an intimate nature. It's just chatty talk. According to the way this word is defined. In 2 Thessalonians 3:11, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. The whole intent and idea behind this is that what we do with this, we want to know about other people intimate facts about other people, not just because we want them, but because we might tell somebody else. We can hardly wait to tell someone else. This isn't what the New Testament is talking about we know that someone's walking disorderly, we warn someone else. This is not talking about factual information. This is not talking about concern, like in 1 Corinthians 1, when the house employee wrote to Paul concerned about the church at Corinth and the things that were happening there. They weren't just idle chatter. They weren't just wanting to, let me tell you about what's going on there. Oh, sorry, that was one of those. Let me tell you what's going on there. It's more like, let me tell you because I'm concerned. It would be like someone in this audience writing someone and saying, I am concerned about some things that are happening at the church in Waynesville. I know you have, for a lot of people here you know real well. Could you please talk to them? We're divided. That would be what that's like. That's a big difference with calling up someone saying, can I tell you what's happening in Waynesville? Oh, I can hardly wait to tell you. You just wouldn't believe what I preached yesterday. Just wanted to use that. I know that doesn't happen. But, you know, that's what I'm talking about. It's not a matter of what we're doing. It's a matter of how we use it. Gossip is revealing things to other people that other people really don't want to reveal about. Proverbs 16:27-28. An ungodly man digs up evil, and it's on his lips like a burning fire. You ever have something you just couldn't wait to tell somebody else? Maybe you should think about it. Maybe that's what we should do. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisper separates the best of friends. I've told the story about the men that were camping together. And they decided on the last night they were going to talk about struggles in their life. And they revealed I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but they revealed three of them very serious things about their life and how they had in the past done some things that were really bad. And they asked the fourth man, what's your problem? What do you deal with? He said, I've got to tell you, I deal with gossip. And he said, I can't wait to get back home to everybody about all this. Now that is funny, but it's not. But that's what it is. An ungodly man digs up evil, looking for something, just so he can tell someone else. Can't wait to do it. That's what he's talking about. And a whisper separates the rest of friends. And it does so strikingly. Abusive or hurtful. We talked about this on Wednesday night. When we verbally abuse someone, it is harmful to people. In Psalm 64, verse 3, that they may shoot in secret at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not speak. Someone that is blameless, they just want to abuse them. We see that with Jesus Christ. How many times did he have to suffer through abusive language from other people? How many times did they shoot at him with their mouths? How many times did they talk about our Lord and Savior? And he said, well, they'll talk about me. They'll talk about you too. It's abuse. For some reason, it's not working in here.
It's abuse.
Abuse. You can be trained if you want to do Proverbs 12. Here we go. Proverbs 12, verse 18. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword. You ever had someone that, when they spoke to you, it's like it just cut you through and through? It just hurt so much. You knew they didn't care about you? We talked about this, I think Glenda brought it up on Wednesday night, about the Acts 2, how they were pierced to the heart from the Word of God. That's a good one. But then we turn over to Acts 7 and Stephen preached basically the same lesson, maybe a little more detail on what they do to him. They kill him. But when you look at good words, but when you look at someone who just uses words to try to hurt someone else, that's not. But let's look at the difference. The tongue of the wise promotes health. We all need to be mindful of this. I don't know how many times I've had to apologize for something I said and the way I said it. Have you? Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Why are you saying? What's your purpose? Is it to help? Are you wanting to tell the other person, I can verbally destroy you? Or are you trying to tell the other person, I verbally want to be able to help you and restore your good health with God? 1 Peter 2:1, lay aside all malice, whether it's our speech or anything, just lay aside. Put it away from us. We don't need to be that kind of people. Then there's flattery. Flattery is insincere praise. It's used to gain advantage. It always has been. He used toward others, for instance, in Job 17:5, he who speaks flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children will fail. Psalm 5:9, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth, their inward part is destruction, their throat is an open tomb, they flatter with their tongue. He said, the people around you that give you insincere praise, and they don't really mean it, is of absolutely no value whatsoever. They're doing it to gain some kind of advantage. In Psalm 12, 2 and 3, they speak idly, everyone with his neighbor with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. They use it to mislead others. Romans 16:18. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. He's warning about those that would publicly try to teach or those that would privately try to teach others. But I think he's talking more about publicly here. They're concerned about themselves. They're only preaching for what they can get out of it. And so however they use that, they will use it to flatter and to get people to be, you've seen preachers. They get up and they just compliment people and brag on them insincerely because all the idea is to make you keep coming and listen to me, not to the Word of God. Jude 16. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great, swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. I hope and pray never do I do that, to try to get anyone to do anything. I need to be sincere in my praise. But people think they can do this for God as well. We find in Psalm 78, 1 through 39, verses 36 and 37, I put all of that down because it's in a context. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue. For their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. Matthew 15:8, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We're not going to get away with God. And then there's a grumbling complaining that is used from Jude, but also in Philippians 2:14, do all things without complaining and disputing. Then there's contention in tongue. In Proverbs 18:6, a fool's lips enter into contention and his mouth calls for blows. Basically, let's get it on. I'm going to talk to you and I want to get it to where let's just fight. And we've never seen people like that before, have we? This is the part I wanted to spend a little bit of time on. How we use God's name. I hear people making an argument, well, the word God is just a general word. It doesn't mean anything. But we know specifically that when we're using it to talk about the God of heaven. The word Lord doesn't mean anything. These words don't mean anything. They're just defining who He is. And things like that. So we can use His name any way we want. Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Boy, he just wrote that to the Jews. He doesn't really mean that today, does he? He absolutely. That is a principle that will always apply. Leviticus 19:12. You shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Deuteronomy 5:11. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Those things are pretty straightforward. New Testament, Revelation 13:6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. So I'm talking about Jewish ways. Revelation 16:9, and men men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of the Lord who had power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. You've seen this. You see it everywhere in the world. You see it all over the place. You hear it all over the place. It's everywhere. And you really think they're doing that to give God the glory? No, absolutely not. It's just the other way around. And who do you think thought up something like this? Someone who didn't care anything about God. People who use this, who have no concern for God, who will tell you they don't even believe in God, but they use this. OMG. And I hate even using the letters. I'm like the Jews on this. I hate to write stuff down. I hate to put it up there because I just am concerned and I don't want to use anything that would cause me to lose my relationship with God. So what do they do? Well, I don't want to use the G there, so I'll just use Lord. That's okay, isn't it? Well, we just read in the Old Testament, both names are given to him. Which one can he use in a vain way? Which one can you use in a blasphemous way? Which one can you use in a way that's not pleasing to him? In 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace for those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's not calling on the Lord out of a pure heart. It's degrading him. It's misusing his name. Or some people substitute the word word, not realizing that that again is in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The Word comes from Logos. And when you think about that, He is that being. Revelation 19:13, that's written on Him. The Word of God. Just don't substitute. Just don't make it the way you want to do it. Just don't use it at all in a derogatory way. Just as a matter of just saying it. Or people use, and again, I don't want to put it up there, but they will put God with another word. And they think, that's okay. I'll just make it that way. And if I invoke His name, then certainly you'll be lost. Well, that's not right either. We don't put it to something else. It is a definition of who He is. Not to be used any way we so choose and put anything with it. Or use the word Lord and add a Y to it. As if that's okay. We don't change things just to use something and try to use it in a derogatory way or in vain. Or you've heard this one. People would just come out with this one. And they're not talking to praise in any of these. It's never used praise. This is not praise. This is vain. Empty. Of no value. Or holy something or another. Trying to make something that's not holy and use it with it as if that changes things. That is a reflection on what is holy and who is holy. Cody talked to me about this one time. We need to be holy just like He's holy. Now, we don't accomplish that, but we better be doing it to the best of our ability and misusing these things as if that changes things. Using words that we know are special and mean something like the Holy Spirit. Let's just substitute something. Slang instead of praise. It's vain. It's empty. It does not glorify God. I don't count how many times I use it. It will never, ever glorify God when I use it in that respect. Usually, it's used when someone's frightened. And then they'll say the words. Yeah, I scream like a girl. Or startled. Or hurt. Or the kind of point. You ever notice that? Turn on your TV if you want to see this. You'll hear one of these words. Change. Turn on your radio. You want to hear them? They're on your radio as well. Go in your neighborhood. You'll hear one word. Go into the store. You'll hear it. Go in the restaurant. You hear it. I just tell you something. I have been so disappointed in grown men who have no respect for women anymore. They, as we used to say, will curse like a sailor in front, right there in front of a woman they have no respect for. That never used to happen when I was growing up. I mean, those words were said in other places, and now it just comes out of everybody's mouth. And then, guess what? Our children start picking it up. They start using it or some variation of it. And pretty soon, doesn't mean anything. These do not glorify the Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. Do not. Instead, we need to glorify God when we speak. Psalm 33:8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the earth stand in awe of Him. Watch your mouth, he says. You know, in other places, keep silent before me. Psalm 47:2, for the Lord Most High, awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. John 20:28. This is the difference. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God, with great respect and awe, standing before his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the way it's been used. He never used, oh my, he never used it in a derogatory way. He never used it in vain. He never used it as a slang. He used it to praise Him. He used it to glorify Him. My Lord and my God. You can glorify God today by becoming a Christian. He would be so pleased today. He would be so pleased that if you obey Him today, He would take away every sin that you ever had. You can show your faith. You can repent. You can make your confession and be baptized and if your sins. Part of that involves the mouth. Part of that involves the speech. Good speech. As a Christian, if you have sin in your life, confess. And we will be happy to bring it. If you have any bad decision, please stand.